I wanted to say we're going to be meeting over there at 5:30 to do a little decorating. I think my wife has already been over there, so if any of you ladies want to come, I think she's going to put out some poinsettias. I thank Keisha for the poinsettias and all the stuff that she did and geo them. And again, if you notice, we'll be talking about that today. We're 17 days before Christmas, but sometime with all the hoopla, all the decoration, all the lights, all the bling bling, Christ get left out. And so sometime we don't want to minimize this special occasion. It's all about Jesus. Now, I'm not against lights. I'm not against trees. I'm not against, you know, that they got all kind of stuff. But we have allowed, I hate to say it, but we've allowed Rudolph and Santa Claus and the snowman. We allowed everybody to come and take his place. But it's all about Jesus. Amen. 6 p.m. today, our church banquet. Again, it's just a time of breaking bread, of fellowship. Ever since we've organized, we've had a Christmas banquet. And it's just for us to get together. And Jill, I need you to bring your cell phone and take some pictures. Because what I like to do is take them and put them on the internet or put them on Facebook so other people can participate in our gathering. Amen. Those are blessings. So I just want to thank you. And by the way, if nobody ever told you all, I thank the Lord for your service. Thank the Lord for what you do. Praise team, deacons, and people that help with the anniversary. I know Sharon's not here. But we want to thank you for your service. Amen. But again, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're talking about last Sunday, we taught a little bit about the role of the Holy Spirit. We saw a little bit of that today in the Sunday school lesson, how Mary, Elizabeth, the baby jumped in the womb, and then we saw Jesus. But today we want to talk about the place of the nativity. We want to talk about Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Bethlehem is important in the scriptures, so we're going to look at that today. Why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Amen? So I got several scriptures. We're going to try to look at some in the Old Testament. So get your Bibles out. This is a Bible-believing church, so I need you to follow me in the Word of God. And again, Michael chapter 5. Michael is one of the minor prophets, so if you turn to about the middle of your Bible and start flipping through Michael, Jonah, Nahum, Hosea, Joel, you'll find Michael. And again, I'm glad to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. Michael chapter 5, and while you're there, turn back to Psalms chapter 90. And we're going to look at a few verses today. Michael, again, is one of the minor prophets. We have 12 minors. When we talk, again, during the summer camp, we always talk the books of the Bible, 5:12, 5:5:12. There are 5 books of law, Pentateuch, Moses wrote them, 5:12. There are 12 books of history, 5:12, 5:5:12. There's 5 books of poetry when you get to Psalms and Proverbs and all that. And then there's 5 books of major prophets. You get to them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then you got 12 books of minor prophets. Amen? Michael chapter 5 and Psalm chapter 90. When you get there, say amen. I want you to follow me in the Word of God. Michael chapter 5. There's about 300 prophecies that came fulfilled true when Jesus was born. But this is the prophecy of where he would be born at. It was already prophesied 700 years before he came. Amen? Michael chapter 5, you there, say amen. Verse 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratite, though thou be what? Little among the thousands of Judah. We're going to look at that. It was a little old bitty small country place that he was born, Nazareth. It was little. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. Read that with me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So this is the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And when we're going to talk to this as we're getting our message, he's going to be a ruler. And then his going forth is from old to everlasting. In other words, he was there in the beginning. He's going to be there in the end. Amen. Psalm chapter 90. We read this verse a lot at funerals. And by the way, I want to thank those that came and Jared for helping me with the funerals. A saint of God that's passed, 86 years old. So be praying for that family. And they're also the families that are going through bereavement. There are a lot of time during the Christmas holidays, people get sad because they lost loved ones during that time. So y'all lift them up. Psalm 90. Are you there? Say amen. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 8 also. Psalms 90 and Proverbs chapter 8. This is going to be the last two verses that we read before we pray and get into the scripture today. Psalms 90 and Proverbs 8. Psalms 90, say amen. Amen. Verse 2, read that with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. This is really talking about Jesus before the mountains. He was him before creation. And when we see that same thing in Micah, everlasting thou art God. Psalms 8, I'm sorry, Proverbs 8, you there, say amen. Verse 22 and 23, this is still talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. It personifies him as wisdom, but it's talking about Christ. Proverbs 8, verse 22, said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning of ever the earth was. 24, when there was no death, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Verse 26, while it was yet, he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Now jump down to verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about why the road to Bethlehem and why all this consummate on a little baby boy that came into the world. And by the way, his name was Jesus. Amen? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning and giving us a mind to be in the house of prayer, the house of worship, as we saw in the Sunday school lesson. Now, Elizabeth praised the Lord and Mary praised the Lord, and we want to praise you today in our Sunday school lesson. And our worship service. Thank you for Jerry teaching us our Sunday school lesson today about the Magna Carta, about Mary. Thank you for, again, our opening prayer by Deacon Jennings, Lord, that you open up our service and prayer. Thank you for the time of our testimonies and our praises. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord, the time of our recognizing our birthdays and our anniversaries and our fellowship time. Thank you, Lord, for the time of announcements. Keandra came up and gave the announcements. And even tonight, we'll be having our Christmas banquet. Thank you for the offering, Brother Jerry. And then thank you for our last songs of the praise team, Lord. They sung about Jesus Christ. They sung about Go Tell It on the Mountain. They sung about Jesus Christ and Merry Christmas. So, Lord, now it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you forgive me my sin, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Why Bethlehem? Well, some 700 years before, Michael had prophesied that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. Michael was contemporary with Isaiah. If you study the Bible, you'll find that Isaiah has 66 books. It's the longest prophet. That's why it's called a major prophet. But Michael has only 7 books, and it's compacted. So we're looking at the prophets, but both of them talk about the same thing. They talk about Jesus' nativity. They talk about the darkness that was going on during the time of Jesus' birth. They talk about he was born in Ephrathah, Bethlehem, which is about 70 miles from Bethlehem, or 70 miles from Jerusalem, 7 miles from Jerusalem. It was a little dark country town called Nazareth. And you remember when we got in the story when Philip went and got Nathanael. And Philip said, we found the Messiah. He's came out of Nazareth. And Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So it was an obscure town. I hate to say it, but like Jasper, that's where Jerry's from. Little old small town just right on the outskirts of Chattanooga. It's just like, you know, when people become famous and they be from a small town, they don't tell you where they're from. They always give you the big city. You say, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Chattanooga. No, you ain't from Chattanooga, from Jasper. So people do that. I don't know if you knew or not, but Usher is from Chattanooga, but he didn't want to tell nobody he's from Chattanooga because, you know, he grew up in San Elmo and he grew up in the church down. So anyway, when he got to California, became big, they said, where you from? I'm from Atlanta. So people liked it. But Nazareth or Bethlehem was a small town. Michael had prophesied about Jesus being born. Now, I want you to stay with me. We talked about the time period. This was around A.D. 4 to about A.D. 33. We talked about the Jewish calendar. We told you about A.D. after death or nominal anno domino and B.C. before Christ. Everything in the world hinges on that particular day. Matter of fact, today is December the 8th, 2019. What? A.D. What does A.D. mean? After the death of Christ. So everything hinges on Christ. I don't know why the world can't see that. Everything in the Old Testament was before Christ, and everything today is after Christ. So Christ is the pinnacle. He's the center of everything. Matter of fact, that song that Ben sang, he's the center of my joy. He is the center of the whole world. Amen? And we need to understand that. Now go back to Michael chapter 5. If you hadn't closed your Bible, I want you to show you a couple of verses. Michael chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. And we'll look at chapter 4, the chapter before that, Michael, verse 9. And it says, now why dost thou cry out aloud? This is the time when a lot of wailing, a lot of mourning, a lot of lamenting. They was crying. By the way, we talked about it, and we'll say it again. Sometime this season is a sad time for people. A lot of people say, oh, they be joyous festing. Oh, there's a lot of people that are crying and wailing. Now, I don't know whether it's the troubles in their life or whether they lost loved ones or whether they don't have money to buy. Matter of fact, I was listening to a lady the other day, and she was saying she didn't even have money to buy her kids any presents. So let me tell you, sometimes it's a trying time, amen? And they're crying out aloud. Now, crying, sometimes people say you cry quietly, but no. When you're crying aloud, that means you're hurting. Amen. Everybody know you're crying. Now look what it says in verse 9. Is there no king in thee? You don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have a savior. Look what it says. Is thy counselor perished? You don't have nobody to go to. You don't have nobody to encourage you. And then it says, has pains have taken thee as a woman in travail? It's almost like a woman that going through birth pain. I don't know where you know it. I'm not a woman, but you woman can identify with me. But they say when you're going through birth pains, that's some hard pain. Is that right? And they talk about that when you're going through. I know we go through the Le Mans, crash, and they teach you how to breathe and all that. But the bottom line is it's painful because you got to go through those birth pains and you start having contractions. Are y'all with me today? And you start having some pains. And sometimes her stomach be getting hurt and she be thinking, I'm going to labor. But no, it's just pain you're going through. Well, during this time of the city, there was a lot of suffering and pain and darkness going on. And so the Bible is talking about how the people were in despair. Right before that, if you go back to Isaiah, he talked about there was a voice of him that crying in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. We're going to talk about that next week. But he was crying in the wilderness. He was telling the people they need to repent and come to the Lord. Are y'all with me? So during this time of the angel coming and getting ready for Jesus to be born, it was a lot of crying going on. It was a lot of wailing. By the way, let me say it again. This Christmas season, there are some people that are in sadness. Amen, somebody. Everybody ain't got it together. Everybody, you know, there's some people worried about their bills. Some people worried about their children. Some people worried about their spouse. Some people worried about their friends. So it's not always a festive time. So this is when Jesus came into the world. By the way, that's why we need a Savior. Amen? He came into the world at the time when the world was in darkness. God delivered through a baby boy born in Bethlehem. A baby boy born named Jesus. Amen? The world, every time the world have a problem, the world throw money at it. Our public schools are in bad shape. They say, we need to build more nicer school. We need to build more football field. Let me tell you, that don't change the inner city. That don't change the heart of the children. Amen? We still got children that are disobedient. We still got children that, as a matter of fact, I was just reading the other day where they had some boys attack the teacher. Let me just tell you, we still got a bad situation. So the world think you need to fix the problem with more money. The world think you need to fix the gang problem, the violence problem, by adding more money. We got a racial problem today. Matter of fact, I heard it just recently. We're living now as one of the most divided countries ever been. Amen? We got so much race problem going on now, it's ridiculous. And we just got so much going on with race today. Not only do we have a racial problem, they think we can fix, we got a sexual identity problem. The world is in darkness, folks. Let me help you out. Jesus needed to come into the world back then, but I'm glad he came because we got the same problem today. Amen, somebody. Teenage girls getting pregnant, young boys carrying weapons. We got a problem. However, when God sees a problem, he always sent a deliverer. When the children of Israel were down in Egypt, God raised up a baby named Moses. Y'all remember the story? When Israel had got away from the high priest, Eli had backslidden, God raised up a Samuel. God told Hannah, you're going to have a baby boy. Samuel wanted a son, but God needed a deliverer. Now in Bethlehem, in the time of Herod, in the time of the Romans, the Jews are in captivity. They're being oppressed. God sends a baby boy in the Bethlehem. His name was Jesus. Amen? So God always fixed problems with a person. 3 points today we want to talk about why the road of Bethlehem. The road of Bethlehem, number one, is because it's the place of his first advent. We talk about Jesus Christ coming one time, but he's coming back again on the second time. But he started out in Bethlehem. The people, Matthew 4:16 say, the people of Israel which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the legion of Bethlehem, shadows of death, light sprung up. From this time on, Jesus Christ came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at heaven. Is at hand. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So today we need to repent. That's the only way we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't come to God and stay the same. There's so many churches today that people go to church, but there's no repentance. Amen. Nobody want to change the way they live. You can't go to church and live the same way. There has to be a time in your life when you come to know the Lord. I told you Bethlehem again was a small, obscure town about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The significance of the name of Bethlehem was this. The name of Bethlehem means house of bread. That's what it stood for. When you don't have any bread, you're hungry. One of the things that we talked about in the Magna Carta today was Mary said God had took from the rich and gave to the poor, and he fed the homeless. Let me just tell you, we're living in a day, and you know it, but we still got a lot of homeless people. Amen? Matter of fact, I just saw again a Christmas spirit where people went out and began to feed people and give plates to people who did not have anything to eat. That's why it's important that Christmas is not all about just getting gifts. It's about giving. Amen? And so this Christmas, let me tell you, think about somebody who is in need. That's when Jesus came. He came at a time when the world was in need. Hunger pains. I don't know about you, but you ever been hungry? When you get hungry, you can't function. A lot of people don't realize that. But a lot of times, I told you about a friend of mine who had a young son. He wasn't about 9 months old. He was taking him everywhere all day. And the boy started to faint, and he was saying, oh, what's wrong with the boy? And she said, he had to eat. He can't be like you all day, no eat a meal. He got to eat. Bring him home. That boy is hungry. You can't take him all to the mall. Lord. So let me tell you, you need to feed children, amen? They got to eat. And when you're not eating, you begin to go down. So Jesus came at a time when they didn't have any bread. The name Ephratite means fruitful. They didn't have any fruit. 700 years before, let me tell you why Bethlehem. 1,700 years before Jacob buried his favorite wife, Rachel, and she was buried in Bethlehem. And what happened was Jacob had left Lebanon and he was going away and his wife was pregnant with Benjamin. Y'all remember the story? And when she was pregnant with Benjamin, she went into hard labor. Let me just say this to you. When you have a baby, you go through a death trap. A lot of girls don't realize that your life is on the line. You could die during the childbirth. We have two women in the Bible who died bearing children. Okay? Rachel was one, and another one was Eli's daughter-in-law. She had a baby, and her husband had got killed, and then Eli fell backwards off, and he got killed, and she died, and they named his son Ichabod. Y'all remember the story? So you could die during childbirth. I remember this lady said her daughter, 16-year-old, got pregnant. And she was so mad, and she told the doctor, I don't want her to have no epidural. I don't want her to have no, now I want her to see how hard it is to have a child. She think it's easy. She out there having sex with young boy. And I just want her, so just to let her have the baby natural. I don't want to put her in any type. I don't want to have epidural. Just do that. That girl popped that baby out and didn't even have no problem. So everybody don't have the problem that everybody else has. Okay? But you know, matter of fact, my boss, I just happened to, that come to me today, wife is expecting, and she's expecting on Christmas Day. And he told me yesterday, he said, look like we're having some complications. They're going to have to take the baby. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So let me tell you, having a baby is not something easy. Not something easy. Rachel died in Bethlehem, and the son came up. Not only that, we have two women that was from Bethlehem that you know about, and they had some plights. One of them name was Naomi, the other name was Ruth. Y'all remember the story. Now you know the story. I give it to you real fast, but Naomi was born in Bethlehem. She married a husband, but he took her down because they got into a situation where they didn't have any bread. Y'all remember the story? They was in, again, what the Bible called a famine in the land. And her husband shouldn't have never did it, but husband sometimes mess up, took her down to Moab. Y'all know the story. And when she got down to Moab, she had two sons. Y'all know the story. And because she was out of the land of promise, they married two Moabite women. Are y'all with me? Now here's the problem. They weren't supposed to marry nobody but a Jew, but they married out of turn. So while they was down in Moab, here it is, her husband died. Y'all with me? Her two sons died. And so you have Naomi, who's from Bethlehem. I'm trying to build a picture on Bethlehem. Got two daughter-in-law. One name was Orpha. Y'all remember the story? The other name was Ruth. And so she said this to them. Y'all need to go on back home. I'm done. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Why? She had heard the Lord had visited his people and they got bread. Y'all remember the story? But y'all know the story. Ruth said, no, I'm not going. I'm going to go with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you die, I'm going to die. So we have two women. Now, I want you to get this plight. They were poor. They went back to Bethlehem. But when they got to Bethlehem, God said they found bread. Ruth ended up finding a Boaz. Do y'all want me to preach this morning? Let me tell you, women, if you need a man, don't go looking for him. God brought Boaz to her lap. Are y'all listening to me today? She was just out working in the field. She wasn't doing her fingernails and doing her eyebrows and she wasn't getting her hair done. She was just working in the field. She probably had her head tied up and she probably had on some dirty clothes, but she was a virtuous woman. Y'all want me to preach this morning? And as she was in the field, this man who was a Jew, who was somebody who didn't have a wife, said, well, who is that? Y'all want me to preach this morning? By the way, there's two people in the Bible that God brought them a mate. They weren't looking. One of them was Adam. Y'all know who the story? Adam wasn't looking for a mate. God gave him a mate. God brought Eve to him. Oh, y'all want me to preach this morning? Ruth wasn't looking for a man. God brought Boaz to her. Here's the story. She married Boaz. They have Obed, who's again the grandfather of David. They have David. And through the genealogy of Ruth, Jesus Christ was born. Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Rachel died in Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Naomi and Ruth was in Bethlehem. I'll tell you another reason why Bethlehem. Herod, when he found out the Magi had came to worship the baby child, he told him, go and find the baby child. And when you find him, come give me word so I can go and worship him too. Y'all remember the story? But Herod was lying. And then God appeared to the wise men after they got to the baby child. Said, don't go back to Herod. Say, because he wanted to kill the baby. And they went another way. But here's the story. Herod got so mad and angry that he had all the boy babies from 2 years and under butchered. Amen? So God had to come all the way back to Bethlehem because of all that degradation, all that sin, all that darkness. So why Bethlehem? Bethlehem was where Jesus was born because all the stuff it was corrupted, and God came to deliver Israel because of Bethlehem. Number two, why Bethlehem? Because the Christ child is already personified in the life of David. David was a Bethlehemite. So David was the one that typified Christ. How do you know, preacher? I give you two examples. David was despised and rejected by his father and by his brothers. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You remember when Samuel came all the way down to Bethlehem? He came down there to anoint one of David's son king. Y'all remember that? God said, look, I've sent you. He said, stop crying about Saul. He's no longer going to be king. I have chose one of David's, Jesse's son, to be my king. So when he goes into the house, and Jesse have 10 of his sons lined up around the wall. Y'all know the story. But guess who wasn't there? David. Despised. He wasn't there. So then, let me help you out again. Don't look at a person from the outside. They'll fool you. Samuel was looking at Eli. He was standing all tall. You remember that? And he said, oh, man, that's him. That's the one going to be the king. God said, that ain't him. God said, let me tell you something. Man look on the outward appearance. What? God look on the heart. By the way, did you know when, let me go and give you this while I'm preaching. When Abraham sent his elder servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. Y'all remember the story? I want y'all to stay with me now. In the criteria for her, he said, now go to my sister's house and get one of her sons and bring her back because I don't want my son to marry in this Canaanite land. There were no criteria for her to be beautiful. You know, one thing that we do is we look on the outward appearance. Let me tell you, beauty is vain. Amen? You need to look at a person's personality. You need to look at a person's integrity. So a lot of time we get caught up in looking at beauty. By the way, Rebecca never saw Isaac. That's what we call a arranged marriage. Are y'all listening to me? She never saw Isaac, but the day that the servant brought her back, they fell in love and got married. Let me get back to my story. Christ, first event, he was personified in David. David was rejected by his father. Matter of fact, this is the way it went. Samuel said, is it that son? The Lord said, no. Is it that son? The Lord said, no. Is it that son? The Lord said, so he went down to seven sons. By the way, seven is a completeness in God. And so Samuel was confused. He said, Jesse, I know the Lord sent me down here to anoint one of your sons king. But he done rejected everybody. So then he made a, you know, like we do when we don't understand. He said, do you have any more sons? Is there anybody else here? And this is what the daddy said. That's why you got to be very careful that you don't put your children and you think the run ain't going to be nobody. Or you think the one, the baby ain't going to be nobody. You let God do. He said, I got one more. One more. He's out in the field. He's the run of the family. He's the one that I didn't think you would even want to see. By the way, that way folk do you sometimes. He's the one that ain't going to be nobody. I never heard this until I got grown. He's the black sheep of the family. What's the black sheep mean? Samuel say, well, we ain't going to sit down until you bring him in. They brought in David. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Samuel. He said, that's him. That's him. Anoint him king. I want to give you that parallel. Just like Samuel was rejected by his daddy. Just like Samuel was rejected. Jesus Christ was rejected when he came. And then one day, here's a picture again. Jesse say, David, I need you to go down to the where they fighting at, the Philistine. I need you to go down to Saul's army and take some bread and cheese down to your brother. Y'all remember the story? I need you to go down there. So David goes down to the camp. And while he's going down there to bring some bread and cheese, that big giant comes up named Goliath. And the giant began to curse Israel. Say, why don't y'all send out a man? Say, why don't you send out somebody? And David, just a little boy, he just accidentally heard it. And he said, has anybody heard what he said? Anybody heard what he said? And then he said, what shall be done for the one to kill him? And of all the people, guess who gave him a hard time? His brothers. His older brothers say, what are you doing here in the first place? And who do you leave them little sheep that you take care of? And by the way, you need to get back home. It's always somebody who will just reject you. But David didn't even look. He didn't even answer his brother. He turned around and said, is there not a cause? Somebody need to do something. You ain't doing nothing. Matter of fact, you got coward written all over your face. So David said, tell Saul, I'll go and fight the giant. Here it is. Jesus Christ came as a baby, but he was going to be rejected and he was going to be despised. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of all men. The Bible says he's from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, for who has despised the day of small things? We talked about that today. God never goes to the wealthy. He never goes to the mighty. He never goes to the noble. He always goes to the lowly. Why? Because God has to get the glory. Gideon thought that. Gideon had 32,000 men, and he was going to fight the Philistine, and God said, that's too many. Say, if you win, you'll think you had something to do with it. So God told him, send him home. And he sent, here it is, 22,000 home, and he had 10,000. And he was going to fight a Philistine army of 144,000, and God said, 10,000, too many. He said, 10,000? Too many? God said, no, what I need you to do is take him by down to the river. And those that lap water like a dog. Y'all know the story. See, God always used the minority. God always used the rejected. The people that you give up on, well, they ain't going to never be nobody. They ain't going to never do nothing for nobody. Those are the ones that God uses. I don't have time to preach to you, but I can just give you a little bit about my life was so raggedy. I was so messed up. I was the part of the animal. I was the call dog of the fraternity. I had it all. And so when I got saved, it was like, not him. not that one. He's the worst of the worst. But God always picked the rejected and the foolish and the despised. He always go to the one that least expected. Same thing with Apostle Paul. Paul was killing Christians, but God said, you know what? I can use that one. So God always did. So we have a picture of why Bethlehem. Jesus Christ was personified in the life of David. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, for God has chosen the foolish thing. The Bible said, base things as he chose to despise. So David became the sweet psalmist in Israel. And Jesus Christ, when he become a full-grown man, will become the ruler and the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? Why Bethlehem, number one? Bethlehem, because it was his first advent. God had to go to a dark city. When I used to preach at the other church, I used to say, some of you might have been born in here, there, Boone and Heights, or maybe born in Alden Park, or maybe born like I heard Deacon say, came up in the projects. And a lot of people give up on people like that. But let me tell you, don't give up on people, because God can use anybody. Anybody who says, I surrender my life, God can use them. Matter of fact, I was just looking at the other day, somebody grew up in Harriet Tubman. And Boone High went to Harvard Law School, graduated from Harvard Law School, and now practicing law. And he grew up in a family where they said he'll never be anything. He'll be in a gang. Let me tell you, it has nothing to do with, by the way, your surrounding don't make you. Are y'all listening today? You make the surrounding. People always, you know, I grew up like that. I don't want to hear that. Well, you know, my daddy was a drunk. I don't want to hear that. Well, my mama was, I don't want to hear that. You have the choice to be whatever you want to be. One thing that I like about Dr. Martin Luther King, he said it like this. He said, look, you can be whatever you want. If you can be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper. Amen? If you be a drum major, be whatever. Let me tell you, we have no excuse. Another friend of mine, we was trying to figure out why they don't give kids homework. I mean, when I grew up in school, we used to have homework. They don't give kids homework today. And he said, Gita, you know why they don't give homework? I was talking to my daughter. My daughter just got her PhD. She said, the reason they don't give homework is because anybody can go on an app and do the homework and turn it in. She said, everything is on social media now. So all the student got to do is take the homework home, get an app, go on the phone or get on the computer and do the homework. So the teachers don't receive that. So you do all your work now in school. Amen? But the sad part, and I don't want to be hard on the school, the sad part about today's education is that we got so many apps, we got so many computers that nobody think anymore. Y'all ain't been to the fast food lately, have you? Don't go there and your bill be $10.02. And you get a girl a dime, she won't know what to do. She won't know what to do. I don't need a dime, it's just it's 2 cents. Give me back 8 cents. I have to do this before I give it to her. I say, now, what you owe me is $5.08. Thank you. And I didn't know it was that bad till one day I had, y'all let me preach a little bit. I had some change in my pocket. You know how you have change in your pocket. So I had several quarters, and I said, well, let me just pull out my change a bag. I pull out my change purse, and I counted out $7.57. And I put it all in their hand. And I said, you can count it. They said, what? I said, that's $7.57. I trust you. Boop. They can't count no more. Nobody can count no more. It's sad that we got, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with technology, but we have lost using the mind. With the computers and the video game, used to be we go out and we used to make goat cars out of, you know, we need to make stuff, and we used to make stuff, but now kids cannot think. We need to get back to using this mind. God gave us a mind and we need to think. Amen? Place of the Nativity, number one. The Christ child had already been personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, the reason that he came in Bethlehem is back in Michael. Turn back to Michael chapter 5. And verse 2 is where it says. It says, the last part of it says, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. I want you to know that this is Jesus Christ. He was already in the world before the world was born. See, a lot of people say, well, I don't know why you serve a Jesus. He wasn't born until the first. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ was here in the beginning. The Bible in Genesis said, let us create man in our own image. When the Bible said, let us, he was talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Genesis chapter 1:28. And the word let us, God, is talking about Elohim. Jesus Christ was there in the beginning, amen? He didn't just come as a baby. He was already in the world before the world was. He put on flesh as a baby. Matter of fact, the Bible says before the mountain was brought forth, before there was ever a sea, God said, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ was here before the world was ever born, amen? One time he was fussing with the Pharisees. You know, it's always people that want to fuss with you when it comes to religion. And the Pharisees was so mad, they said, we be Abraham's seed. Jesus looked right at them and he said, before Abraham was, I am. They couldn't identify with that. And they began to, you know how we begin to logical. They say, how this man was before Abraham? He ain't even 50 years old. You remember they were saying, this man ain't 50 years. But what Jesus was saying is the I am that he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. The I am mean that I am the self-existing God. I was there in the beginning. I was there when you studied the Bible, you have what they call Christophany. Every time you see a person in there as an angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate state. When Joshua was getting ready to go and conquer Jericho, an angel of the Lord was standing there strapped with his sword, and that was Jesus Christ, and he told Joshua, take off your shoes, for the place you're on is holy ground. Every time you see Jesus in the Old Testament, he's a picture of Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't just born in Bethlehem. He was already in the Father's bosom before the world was. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is the first and the last. Jesus Christ is everything you want him to be. Amen. I'm not talking about a baby who just came into the world. I'm talking about the God of the universe. Amen. Jesus Christ is the creator. In Colossians 1:16, it says, for God, through this baby child, was all things created. And all things was created by him and for him. And by him all things consist. And by him before all things, he's everything. He's going to be the judge. He's going to be the one. Jesus Christ didn't just come as a baby. He was already in the world. But he came as a baby for you and me. He came as a baby so he could live a life of perfect for 33 and a half years so that we could see for ourselves that somebody could keep the law. He came for you and me. I know we're looking at Jesus Christ now as a baby, but what I want you to do is look at him as a grown man. I got it on the picture right there. I want you to see it. You see Mary and the baby, but there's a pathway leading to three crosses. See, not only was he a baby, but he came to die. One of the gifts that the wise men brought to the Magi was frankincense. Are y'all with me today? And myrrh. And that myrrh was a picture of death. So Jesus Christ, they said when the cradle was in there, the cross shadow was across the cradle. He came to die. Matter of fact, Pilate asked him, he said, this is not my world. If this is my world, my servant will fight. He said, for this cause came I into the world to bear witness of the truth. I am the truth. Talking about a baby child. Amen. He came into the world. Bethlehem, because he had to go to Bethlehem and clean up everything that happened in Bethlehem. And then he had to be personified in David Christ. So Jesus Christ. And then turn back to Michael one more time as I close. Michael chapter 1. Won't you turn back one more time? Michael chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. Michael chapter 5, verse 1 says, now gather thyself in troops, nation of Israel. O daughter of truth, he has laid siege against us. Read that next part with me. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. The Bible is saying that when he come, and when he become a grown man, they were going to slap him on the cheek. The Bible is saying that when Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life and they had a mock trial for him, and when they brought the soldiers blindfolded him and they slapped him on the face and they said, where the Spirit of God go now? The Bible said when they put a crown on his head, they slapped him and they buffeted him because the Bible said they were going to smite him on the cheek. But Jesus Christ came the first time as a lamb. Are y'all listening to me? He ain't coming back that way. I'm telling you now, the Bible says, and here it is, in Proverbs and Psalms 2:12, kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When he come back the second time, he's not coming back to be spit on. He's not coming back to be talked about. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? I don't know why on Facebook now they got all these animal kingdom where lions are always attacking some. Every time, I just noticed now every time you get on Facebook, they got a lion making prey. But a lion, I got news for you. It's the king of the jungle. I don't care what animal it is. Them lions are ferocious. They jump on the gazelle. They jump on the deer. They jump on and they bite them on the neck. And before you know it, it's over. When Jesus Christ come back, y'all, I want y'all to know, when he come through those eastern skies and when they see him, the Bible said, their eyes going to turn and roll back in their head. The Bible says the skin going to melt on their flesh. Because the Bible says they're going to tell the mountains, fall on us. Fall on us to hide us from the face of him that come. He coming back to rule and to reign. Amen? I don't know whether you know it or not, but this world need a ruler. Jerry just talked about they fighting over in the Gaza Strip. Let me tell you, the world need a peacemaker. And by the way, his name is the Prince of Peace. He came as a baby, but he's coming back as a judge. He came as a baby, but he's coming back as a king. He came as a baby, but he's coming back to judge this wicked world. I don't know why people think they get away with sin. I don't know why people think they get away with crime. Let me tell you, every crack, every darkness, everything that's been done in the dark is going to be brought to the light. I know we got cases now. My daughter's a lawyer. Well, they can't even figure out who done the case. They can't find a victim. They can't find the accused. They can't find the person who did it. But let me tell you, God knows. And by the way, I'm so glad. I don't know why I'm preaching on this. I'm so glad now that God gave man the knowledge of DNA. I don't know what y'all been keeping up with, but they've been finding cases 30 years old. 30-year cold case. Hadn't been able to find nobody. But they've been putting, by the way, if you didn't know it, let me help you out. They sneaking your DNA into a pool so they have everybody's DNA. So you might not know it or not. Matter of fact, they're getting the world setting up now for everybody going to have a number. You might not know it. I'm not trying to scare you now, but check out your Google search. Or check out your Yahoo and see what don't they get all your information. And putting it in a database. And so with the DNA now, I just saw a case in Alabama. Well, 19-year-old girl was murdered 30 years ago, and they didn't have nobody. The sad thing about it, they found out it was a preacher. It's so sad. They took some DNA in that DNA database. And that DNA, I want you to hear me well. DNA is 99% correct. Amen, somebody. Amen. Nobody got your DNA. I don't care who you are. Your DNA is specific to you. And they traced it back to a preacher in the same city. And when they got him, he was at the same age. He was 23 when she was 19. And they began to, y'all help me out here. They began to put the pieces together. Y'all know they put the pieces together. And they found out that he had an alibi back then, but it was a lie. And they proved that he was there. And they found her body, and they said, your DNA was found on her clothing. Amen? Thank the Lord that God has given man some wisdom and some knowledge. But when Jesus Christ come back, every criminal, every guilty person, every person that thought they got away gonna have to stand to a holy judge. And let me tell you, you ain't gonna have nobody defend for you when you stand before the Lord. And you won't be able to say, I didn't do it, because he knows everything. So when you stand before the Lord, you need to receive him now as your Savior. But when you stand before him, the Bible says, all those that forget God will be cast in the devil's hell. The Bible says he either gonna be your Savior or your judge. The Bible says if he don't rule you, he going to destroy you. The Bible said when he come back, he coming back as a wine presser. I don't know if you ever seen a wine presser. I don't know if you ever seen no people mash grapes. But let me tell you, when he come back, they say he going to have feet like brass. And they say when he come back, the blood going to run to the bridle of a horse. Y'all don't know, and he going to start stomping. And he going to be stomping. And when he stomping, it's just like when a wine presser, when they mashing grapes and they bust the sap. And they bust the cover of the rind, and it just become group. When he come back, he gonna take all the enemies of God and all the wicked people and all the lost people and all the kings and all the queens that have turned away from God, and he gonna kill them and feed their flesh to the birds of the air. And guess what's gonna happen at that time? Then we're gonna have a world of peace. Because the Bible said, I looked and there was a new heaven and a new earth. And the new to heaven shall ring righteousness. So I won't have to worry about you lying on me or cheating on me no more, because all the lies and sinners are going to be gone. I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be a place of happiness, a place of the streets of gold, a place of God is ringing forever. Let me tell you, if you didn't receive Christ this Christmas, you need to receive him now. Because he came as a baby boy, but he didn't stay that way. He grew up to be a king, and he coming back to be a judge. Amen? Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for sharing the good news about Bethlehem, or why Jesus had to come to Bethlehem, because we see it was a despised, obscure city, no man's land. He came, bled and died, so that we have a right to the tree of life. A lot of people still looking at a baby. He's not a baby anymore. A lot of people wearing crosses around their neck. He's not on the cross anymore. He's in heaven making intercession for you and me. So, Lord, as we get invitation, I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people. Help them to understand that this baby that came into the world is not just a baby. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he's coming back to cleanse this old wicked world and make it the way it should be. So, Lord, as we give invitation, draw them into yourself, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ask everyone to stand with your head bowed. We're going to sing a verse or two, how I decided to follow Jesus. I want you to think about your own life. Like Jared said, put all that other stuff outside of your mind. Just focus on the Christ child. Think about your life. Are you letting Jesus Christ rule and reign in your life? He's either going to be Lord of all or not Lord at all. So I pray that you would get right with the Lord.